Translation. O king, as the wind promotes friction between two pieces of wood and thus gives rise to fire, Kashyapa Muni, whose transcendental position was fully absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transferred his potency into the womb of Aditi. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. A forest fire begins when two pieces of wood rub against one another, being agitated by the wind. Actually, however, fire belongs neither to the wood nor to the wind. It is always different from both. Similarly, here it is to be understood that the union of Kashyapa Muni and Aditi was not like the sexual intercourse of ordinary human beings. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do with the human secretion of sexual intercourse. He is always completely aloof from such material combinations. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu, I am equal toward all living entities. Nonetheless, to protect the devotees and kill the demons who are a disturbance or disturbing elements, the Lord entered the womb of Aditi. Therefore, this is a transcendental pastime of the Lord. This should not be misunderstood. One should not think that the Lord became the son of Aditi the way an ordinary child is born, because of sexual intercourse between man and woman. Here it is. It may also be appropriate to explain, in these days of controversy, the origin of life. The life force of the living entity, the soul, is different from the ovum and semen of the human being. Although the conditioned soul has nothing to do with the reproductive cells of man and woman, he is placed into the proper situation because of his work, Kamana Divinetrina. Life is not, however, a product of two secretions, but is independent of all material elements. As fully described in Bhagavad Gita, the living entity is not subject to any material reaction. He can neither be burnt by fire, cut by sharp weapons, moistened by water, nor dried by the air. He is completely different from the physical elements, but by a superior arrangement, he is put into these material elements. He is always aloof from material contact, asango hyayam purusha. But because he is placed in material conditions, he suffers the reactions of the material modes of nature. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prati prakriti jan gunan karanas gunasangasya sadasat yoni janmasu. The living entity in the material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. Bhagavad Gita 13:22. Although the living entity is aloof from the material elements, he is put into material conditions, and thus he must suffer the reactions of material activities. Om Ajanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Hayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Inabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Akanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Priyadvaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is a verse which is spoken about in Bhagavad Gita, this topic, how many births both you and I have undergone. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, or subduer of the enemy. Because Arjuna asked the question, Krishna asked, how is it that you spoke to the sun god, he's older than you? So he's speaking because this is how a materialist sees things. So as we said the other day, that unless we see things from a different viewpoint, we'll never understand spiritual life. It's a completely different vision from a different standpoint. And so we mentioned that one has to come to the transcendental platform. So this seems like a tall order. But what is a transcendental platform? Prabhupada explained that in many ways, but one particular thing he said, he says, if we chant 16 rounds properly and we follow four regulative principles, we're considered to be on the transcendental platform. It may be that the mind is becoming diverted due to our association with the material energy, but if we do that properly, then our conviction and our focus is to try and practice spiritual life, to try and achieve the goal of Krishna consciousness. This is always there in the consciousness to some degree. We're aware of what the real situation is. So that's the transcendental platform in our one understanding. Of course, there is a transcendental platform like Ramananda Roy, which is the other extreme. He wasn't struggling with the senses at all because he was fixed on the transcendental platform. He was able to even associate with actors. He was massaging young girls before they went on the stage. And it didn't affect him because he didn't see what we see. His vision was completely different. So this stage is achieved by progressive Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada explains that by the slow process of devotional service, you know, it's not that we can jump like a sahaja up to that platform of being in transcendental consciousness. Their philosophy is that we just act on that platform. But that's not we can't act on that platform. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam says, first, we have to purify the heart. And when the heart's purified, then it's possible to act on the transcendental platform. So the slow process of devotional service means, what is it? It's a painstaking process. Would everybody agree? It leaves no stone unturned. We may be able to put a little bit to one side. Nobody will take any notice. I can keep that little bit for later. But no, it's all unturned. Get rid of that as well. If we have a friend in an important place, we can go around authorities, can't we? And get to the position by his grace. And so, but in devotional service, it's not really possible. We have to go through the purification. Actually, it is possible. Prabhupada gave the example, didn't he, that he was giving class once, and he was talking about we have to be 100% pure to come to this transcendental platform. And all the devotees, to go back to Godhead, he actually said, and all the devotees were glum. And he could see that, so Prabhupada said, anyway, 75% is enough. And they were still not enlivened, so he said 50%. And a lot of us thinking, this is too much as well. And so he got up and went outside to go out the door, and he looked back through his chudra over his shoulder. He says, well, I have the back door key. So in other words, it's by the spiritual master's grace that we actually make the advancement. It is our effort, but as we've just had the Damodar prayers, it's not just our effort. There's two fingers too short. We're two fingers too short of going back to Godhead. That's pretty close, isn't it? Two fingers. It's not far away. But one is that our endeavour, we have to endeavour nicely. And the other one is when Krishna sees that sincere endeavour, then he can fill in all the blanks. So, Apichet Sudharacharo, Bhajate Mamananyabhai, Sadhu, what is it? No, that's not the one. Ajopisam Avyayatma, Bhutanam Ishvaropisam, Prakritim Stanadistaya, Sambhavami Atmayaya. Krishna's saying what the situation is. He says, although I appear in this world, I'm not part of it, I'm transcendental. And even though I'm appearing every so often, I'm appearing in my original spiritual form. And so, as devotees also, we have to come to the platform of learning from Krishna's position. It says, Janma Karma Chime Divyam Evam Yoveti Tattva Chakfadeyam Panar Janma Neti Mam Eti So Arjuna. He says that if we come to that platform, he says, then we don't have to take birth again. If we actually factually realize that we're not the body. And so many people can theoretically understand they're not the body. There's examples in our shastras, like Hiranyakashipu. Now he was very fixed in, he was very learned in the Vedas. And when Hiranyakashipu was killed, Hiranyakashipu wasn't pleased about it. And neither was his Hiranyaksha's wife and daughter, or wife and mother actually. And so Hiranyakashipu, he started to preach the most elevated philosophy about how we shouldn't lament. And that, you know, this is the, and he went through all the philosophy, and at the end of it he said, but wait, I'll get him, I'll get Vishnu. So it didn't really affect him. Superficial. So it's realized knowledge, the Bhagavad Gita says, and realized knowledge comes from practical application. And so this is real hearing, isn't it? Real hearing means that we're not just there to make the numbers up, you know, and catch up on other things in the Bhagavatam class. We're there to hear with an attitude of, how does this affect me? And then the next thing, how can I apply it? And then it actually becomes relishable. When we see that this philosophy is for me. I remember one devotee, he was a young bhakta, we all know him, he's fairly close to us, but I'll not reveal his name, and he was, and he was in class, and they were talking about sex life, and he started to look around, he said, I didn't know what I was thinking about. So in other words, if we're listening to class properly, we'll think he's talking about us, the speaker. If we think he's talking about something with nothing to do with us, it means we're not really listening. Because even the most neophyte devotee can start speaking if he's following the process. And the philosophy is still there for us. So purification. Hiranyakashipu, yeah, he spoke the most elevated philosophy, and then it didn't make any difference when he came to practicing. Anybody else? Kamsa. He was pretty elevated. But he couldn't, even when he was preached the philosophy by Vasudev when he was going to kill Devaki, when he heard the omen, he heard the philosophy, but it didn't make any difference. But then when, what was it, Vasudev said, okay, I'll present every son to you in for due action when they're born. And then he was thinking, now this is practical. This is practical. This is something I can actually understand. And so he accepted that. So yeah, it's like the Lord appears not by seminal combination with the fluid of the female, but he appears like the sun out of the ocean. The sun appears to come out of the ocean, but it's actually, it's there before, it, you know, we all know the sun is there even before it appears. It's not that the sun's suddenly just been born out of the ocean. And this is the understanding of how Krishna appears. In Christianity, it's called the Immaculate Birth. Is that right? Immaculate. Hey? Yeah, Immaculate Conception. It means it's not like an ordinary conception. Virgin Mary, in other words. But this is very interesting, because in order for the Lord to appear, in order for the Lord, for us to be able to see the Lord's appearance and see its transcendental nature, we have to be transcendentally situated. We have to have realized knowledge. And so this is a nice pastime in the Krishna book. In the very beginning, Devaki was in jail, Vasudeva was in jail, and just after this period when Kamsa, he relented, he said, okay, I'll follow your word, I can trust you, you're a very honest person, Vasudeva. So he let them go, and then Narada Muni came along, and he said, you can't trust any of them, the demigods are being born everywhere. You should just, so he threw him in jail. He threw Devaki and Vasudeva in jail. And then, what year after year, there was a birth. And then he was even prepared to let him go, Kamsa. But then Narada Muni stepped in again. He said, you don't know which one it could be. It might not be the eighth, it might be the first. So then he killed all the children. So these six children, there were six garbas, if I can remember the story right. And the seventh one was Balaram. Balaram came afterwards. But before Balaram could come and, you know, clear everything up, make everything nice for Krishna's appearance, the womb was inhabited by these six garbas. And he says that these six garbas, these six living entities, are born from Marichi. And Marichi is the... is the deity of the mind, born from Lord Brahma's mind. He says, so similarly, the six bad qualities that a materialistic person has, what are they? Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, envy. These are born from the mind. So just as Kamsa killed these six garbas. Kamsa's equated to fear. Fear personified. And Devaki was always fearful of him. And it says that fear eventually killed these six garbas in the womb. Kamsa. So similarly, when a devotee is sufficiently frightened of the material energy, when he understands things properly, then these six bad qualities within our heart can be cleansed away. Because why? We'll be very serious about devotional service. We'll be fearful of the material energy. And so this this fearful condition is very helpful. So we're not talking about that particular aspect. We're talking about the heart becoming purified. With a purified heart, then the consciousness is changed. When the consciousness is changed, we can see things as they are. We can understand the science of Krishna consciousness. This verse starts to become understandable. So what about Krishna's pastimes then? They are transcendental. And in the Krishna book especially, we see Lord Krishna's pastimes in the material world. And so if we don't understand these pastimes properly, it can actually have a tendency to think, do I really want to go back to the spiritual world? You know, what about the gopis? When the gopis, they were living with their husbands externally. This is a prakrita, a prakat lila. And at that time in the Vedic culture, that if a woman was out of her house for one night, then the husband could reject her. And they knew that if they went to visit Krishna, who was playing his flute in the forest, then their material life was over. They'd have to become prostitutes to exist. Nobody would have them. And so they actually surrendered, most of them surrendered to that. Some didn't, actually, not straight away. But the ones who went into the forest, then Krishna started arguing with them by saying, can I help you? As if he didn't know why they'd come. And there was an argument took place. And the gopis actually won the argument. So anyway, I won't get into that too much, but we're talking about the pastimes. These pastimes seem, if we look at them in a material way, we'll see that, why is Krishna so cruel? You know, why does he put devotees, I don't think I could stand that, giving everything up and then being rejected. Do I want to give everything up in the material world? You know, if we don't understand, we may think like that. In Bhagavad Gita, it says, Vita Raga Vaya Krodha, Manmaya Mama Pashrita, Bhava Janma Tapasa, Bhutamam, Ma'agataha. It says that three times of people I find it difficult to make progress in spiritual life. One doesn't know any, he's just too absorbed in his material life, too attached. One is fearful. What are they frightened of? Misunderstanding of what spiritual life actually is. Has anybody done books on the street? Yeah, put your hands up. Was done books on the street. So, has anybody come across anybody who's been interested in the philosophy? Not very often, but it does happen. And you start speaking to them, and you'll say, "We're not the body. What? And we're the soul within the body, and the soul's eternal. Well, what happens to the soul?" Oh, you don't say the soul's eternal at this point. You say that then you know when the body dies, the soul doesn't die. What happens to it? We get another body, or there's life after death. Oh, no. Has anybody had that experience? Why do they say that? Because it's so much suffering in this material world. They're just going through it, and they think, I'll be glad when it's over. It's just too much. And so we, Atmanam Manyate Jagat, we superimpose our misunderstandings on spiritual life. And, you know, even subtly, even though we may know the philosophy still, it's very deep-rooted. And has anybody noticed, when sometimes we feel badly done to in spiritual life, we feel like, wow, why should I put up with this? You know, I don't have to put up with this. Why did he act like that? And it may just flick through the mind, I'm going. It may do that. Why? It's because of this subtle misunderstanding, actually. It's not the things at hand, it's that we're not properly situated. If we're properly situated, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, if we've understood it, Sanjaya says, "And my hair is standing on end and I feel exhilaration at every moment." And Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, he says, if one once understood the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita properly, he'll feel a thrill at every moment, not just for some time. So this seems like something we've all known, you know, that Krishna's birth is not material. But it's very deep philosophy, actually. And going more into the understanding is that when Krishna does leave Vrindavan, this is another pastime, when Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura for the wrestling match, he didn't come back. And so he sent Akrura? He sent Akrura back, I think, to check out things. And he says it was just like, has anybody seen these westerns of a ghost town? And there's tumbleweed going down the road. You know, there's dust everywhere. There's nobody in those, he says, but that's how Vrindavan was. And the people, they were inert. They couldn't do anything. You know, when Krishna left, cups were left half full. Nothing was washed. They hadn't eaten for months. So they were pretty miserable externally. So welcome to the spiritual world. So how do we understand that? We have to understand this transcendental nature, don't we? And how is it explained? It's explained that there's the aprakrita pastimes and the prakrita pastimes. Prakrita means manifested. And those are those pastimes in this planet. And aprakrita means the ones in the spiritual world. He said, so when Krishna seemingly left Vrindavan, then he'd gone. But he says the inhabitants of Vrindavan in that pastime were experiencing association with Krishna as if it was a dream. That when they were in that stunned state, they were actually engaging in Krishna's pastimes on the Aprakrita platform. You know, you couldn't tell by looking at them that they were actually experiencing the highest bliss and engaging in Krishna's pastimes. And then the other explanation is that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Everybody's heard this one. Shyama Sundar Krishna. Says, so when he got to the border, as soon as he got to the border, then Vasudev Krishna took over. And Shyama Sundar Krishna went back to his in the Aprakrita pastime. So in this way we can understand that even in Dwarka and even in Mathura, the same thing is happening, that Krishna's revealing himself and covering himself according to the particular pastime of the devotee. So the devotee is never without Krishna's association. And this is true, this is our philosophy. They were experiencing more bliss in thinking that Krishna they could understand his pastimes by dreams, but he's not actually there. He says, and that bliss was even more powerful or more substantial than the bliss of meeting, separation. So this is very enlivening for a devotee, that if we apply ourselves to, or apply our mind to Krishna consciousness, we can have Krishna's association at every moment. And this is what Bhagavad Gita is encouraging us to do. There's so much said in Bhagavad Gita about karma, about jnana, about bhakti. But the real essence of Bhagavad Gita is explained in the 18th chapter of the mood of a devotee, how he should practice. And that is Chetasak Sarvakarmani Mai Sanyasi Matpara Buddhiyogam Zapashricha Chetasa Satatambhava. He said, in all activities, we depend on me. So that means we're remembering Krishna. Work always under my protection. Krishna's in charge of the situation, no matter how dangerous. And in such activities, be fully conscious of me. So this is Krishna consciousness. It's not that we, you know, at the end of the morning program, we just get stuck into our activities and forget Krishna. But the whole morning program, the whole sadhana, is to implant Krishna in the heart, in the mind, so that we can be conscious of Krishna in everything we do. And then, Narayana Prasave, Nakutashchava Bibite, Svarga Apavarga Narakeshu, Apitulyasa Darshanam. So here it's saying that a devotee is not, has no desires. Is that right? Anybody got any desires? A devotee has no desires. Prabhupada was once talking to the parents of one of his disciples. You know this one. And they were actually disturbed that, you know, he'd become like, in their eyes, like a zombie as far as material life he'd lost all his enthusiasm for his university studies. He weren't interested in anything they were talking about. And so they came to see Prabhupada because, you know, there was something wrong with him. And when they explained to Prabhupada, says, yes, a devotee has no desires. And they were shocked. And I don't know whether it was Ketananda this time. And anyway, one of the Prabhupada's older disciples, who was Prabhupada, said, what Prabhupada means, it has no material desire. And Prabhupada said, no, a devotee has no desire. And so this is a platform of peacefulness, no aspirations. Only aspiration is to remain in Krishna consciousness. I was going to go on to another point there. What did I say before that? That last, we were talking about has no desire. Anyway. Yeah, so this is the platform we're aiming for. is not just to hear Bhagavad Gita and know the philosophy in a rote way, but to imbibe it by hearing this one topic of philosophy. We become more and more conscious of what the reality actually is, and by trying to implant this one aspect of the philosophy in our lives, in our every action, means that we can actually become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada said we don't have to study many, many books. Yeah, I remember him saying once, he said that I only know Bhagavad Gita. Obviously he knew a lot more. He said, I only know Bhagavad Gita. He says, and nobody can defeat me. Okay, we can stop there. Anybody have any comments? Any questions?